Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage. All the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Ever wonder how the hosts of TMS keep the lights on? No? Well, here's why anyway. People like Steven Edsall, Jibba Jabba, and Tony Mazis signed up on patreon.com/TMS, and without them, no lights! Coming up on TMS, Motorboat the Cat.
50 cc's of Zip Zap Zoopy Bop.
Treasured Hammock.
Tendrils of Benevolence.
Spiders Don't Know English.
Ferris Bueller Can't Lose.
Finding Mice in the Rabbit Hole.
You'll Never Go Full Sarlacc.
15 kids coming in with their heads off.
Gently pick up the spider. Then stop it!
I am Brian of House Spider.
TMF.
Everybody loves a parade. Unless it's a parade of beautiful people, then I hate it.
Birth of Her Area Unit.
Grace on Fire.
Cricket on Steroids with Bill. And more on this episode of The Morning Stream.
God, have you even looked around? This place is a labyrinth of bad choices.
We're fresh out of privates.
The Morning Stream. We're not toys. We're action figures.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome to The Morning Stream. It is Tuesday, February 27th, 2024. I'm Scott Johnson with Brian Ibbett. Hi, Brian.
Hello.
Look, it's a very, we got how many days? Go to Viva TMS Vegas, everyone. Let's take a look at the days. We have 61 days, 7 hours, 45 minutes, and 34 seconds as of this reading before the events of Las Vegas
kick
in.
That's 2 months.
I know.
Oh my gosh, I cannot stop sneezing.
You got something in the air? You got a little, what's going on?
I think something in the air. I don't know what it is. Like, I had it's like a little tickle inside my nose. Mm. And I tried blowing my nose like crazy yesterday trying to get it out, but it's some tickle. There's just some tickle in
just
there.
Just lodged in there, whatever it is.
Yeah.
We got a dog who's her eyes all goopy, and we think it's because she sheds so much that her own hair has gotten in her eye and irritated her eye.
Oh, gosh. Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah,
one of the three dogs that we have here at the Johnson Kennel.
I'm pretty sure that's not my problem.
No.
Pretty sure.
No. I don't think none of your hair has entered your eye, I don't think.
That's true. Or my nose. It's probably a cat. I think it's because I do the thing where, you know, I got a big fluffy cat and she's sweet and I like bury my face in her fur and go like that. Because you got to do that. She's a big fluffy cat.
You heard it here first. Brian motorboats his cat.
So, I motorboat the cat.
Yep.
Yes.
I think that's it. That is a thing, right? I'm not making that up. That's real.
No, that is a thing. Well, I mean,
not with
in
cats,
this context, it's not the thing, but yeah, that is the noise is usually associated with the boob related motorboat.
Got it. Okay. Making sure I got my terms right. Cause I'm never quite, I'm
the
never
only
quite
boob
sure.
Involved here is the one doing the motorboating in this case.
That's right. Also
sure that's like cat hair up my nose or something.
Yeah, it could be, you never know. And my feeling is it'll probably just go away, or maybe you got a little winter allergies. I don't know. We got 2 inches of snow out of nowhere last night, like 2 a.m. Just boof.
Yeah, it is coming down right now. We're getting it. I'm watching the sidewalk slowly disappear into a world of white.
Ours came in, and literally it felt like it just went, blah, and like threw it all out at once, just blah, and covered everything and then left. It wasn't a long storm. It wasn't a drawn-out experience. It was just like
but it was
a barfing.
Just enough.
Yeah, enough, and it annoyed me. Anyway.
Snow barfing. Yeah.
That's right. The reason I bring up that whole thing with the VivaTMSVegas.com. There's still some tickets. Please get in there. Get those tickets. I found out today Pacholik is coming. Mike Pacholik is coming.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Oh, I got to thank that guy in person for his continued generosity. I mean,
nicest guy ever.
That really guy. Is.
Yeah. Always very kind. I also saw Gary from Lantronic, formerly of Lantronics, formerly of Lot B, formerly of, what was the other thing he did?
Of Batu.
Oh, Batu.
Black Square Post. Yeah. The former scoundrel who would teach you a game of, what's the card game? Shoot. It's,
Dom Jot. Nope, that's Star Trek.
It's Sarlacc. No, that's the pit.
You play Dom Jot. I don't remember. Sabacc?
Yes. Sabacc.
All right. Thanks, Lesarge.
It's funny. It's like Sarlacc, but it's not.
No, it's not quite full Sarlacc. Hasn't gone full
Sarlacc.
You know
who else is coming? Mm. I mentioned it before, but Uncle George and Aunt Bear.
Yeah, we get to finally meet again, I guess, because I did meet him. Yes. I just didn't really. Their significance was not yet known to me then.
Right. Now that you, exactly. When you finally meet them now, it'll be like, oh, you're Aunt Barb.
That's right.
Nice to finally meet you, Aunt Barb.
That's right. It'll be great. Can't wait to see
you. You guys all need, when you see her, you go, oh, you're Aunt Barb. Oh,
so you're Aunt Barb, are you? Just talk like you're straight out of Minnesota when you see her, okay? Right,
exactly. Got a little Arby's on you.
Yeah. I realized something last night. It's a long story why this is even happening, but you know, I kind of went on a little bit of a tear with the old medical shows. I watched St. Elsewhere.
Yeah, St. Elsewhere. Yep.
A couple seasons of that. And anyway, I ended up going down this road of like, what do I miss? And I realized I miss ER. I miss that show. And the reason I think I miss it, like St. Elsewhere, they didn't hire nothing but pretty people. There's some pretty people.
Oh, yeah. It was exactly.
But it was a lot of uglies, too. There were some normals. I shouldn't say uglies. There were normals on it. And I like that when a show will cast normals. All these new shows, you kids today with your Chicago Hope, or not Hope, Chicago Med, or whatever.
Yes, your Grey's Anatomy. I mean, you want to talk about a parade of pretty people. It is Grey's Anatomy.
Yeah, I can't deal with that. I hate that, actually. It drives me crazy.
You know who works behind the counter? For ER, sure, Noah Wiley's handsome, and Sherry Stringfield is pretty, and
she's kind of pretty in a normal way, though, right?
She's girl next door pretty, right? She is believable as you know, someone in that role, as opposed to everybody looking like Iggy, whatever her name is on Grey's Anatomy, knocked up.
It's 27 dresses.
Her. Anyway.
That girl. Can't think of her name. Why can't I think of her name? We get to see a fake birth of her area unit in that knocked up movie. You remember that? That was shocking. Catherine Heigl. That's it. Jeez.
Heigl. Yeah. Catherine Heigl.
Anyway. it was like a prosthetic, like fake vagina in that movie. Anyway.
Yeah.
So I like that about it. It just gives it a more of a raw kind of thing. And also back then, this is a time in the 90s, mid 90s. We're talking 95. That show started when you started to see all these actors come through that you would see in everything from then on.
Yeah.
They were in. I watched an old lady die in a very sad episode. That was also Seinfeld's grandmother. I saw another dude. Oh, who was it? The guy from Alias, the bad guy.
The older guy. Right.
Little shrimpy dude with the. Mm-hmm. Frowny face. Can I give his name? He's a big deal in the second season. This guy.
You and I really. One of these years, we have to figure out a way to go work the red carpet at like one of the major award shows. You know, we'll be standing there with whoever it is from E and from Bravo or not Bravo or Extra or whatever.
I remember you from that thing you were in.
Oh my God, you're the little shrimpy frowny dude. Yes,
right. You were on Alias, I think. Right, and was it Victor Kiriakis? No, that's that guy from a daytime soap opera. Wait a minute, what was your name? Like that would be, we would do a killer job at the E red carpet. Yeah, let's do it.
And it wouldn't even be a shtick. It would just be us like, oh, you, we know you.
Yeah, we would totally do that. But anyway, so it's like this just, you know, whole thing. And yes, George Clooney is a handsome actor. Okay.
Sure.
He's still on the show at this stage.
Yeah.
But he's not handsome in the traditional way. The show doesn't parade him around like he's just Mr. Good Looking. He's super flawed. He's got all kinds of problems. He's basically a, you know, an alcoholic ready to pop.
He's basically Tony Stark. Kinda, all the money.
Yeah, He's Tony Stark with an okay car and a decent apartment. I mean, that's basically it.
The confidence level, you know, the charisma, the, yeah.
All that stuff. And anyway, I'd just forgotten how much I like it. And I just think the design of the show, like the core of it, is really sound. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And it's a lot of fun to go back to. Plus this, there's that cool sound it makes.
Right. Crichton deal at the very, like the pilot was Crichton, right?
All Crichton, the whole thing.
I thought he just like basically said, yeah, here, I'm setting this up. You guys take it from here kind of thing.
He created he's credited for the rest of the series as showrunner,
but yeah, I wonder what his involvement really was.
Yeah, I don't know if he's just inspiration or what, but anyway, it's really good. And I was watching some of it and I realized something about it and this kind of show in general. In the 90s, when I would watch a show like this, it would stress me out because every 2 seconds it's like, we'll have a personal moment where Noah Wiley's talking to somebody about, you know, oh yeah, my mom, she's coming in town, something, something. And then somebody would kick the door open, Malik or a character like that would kick the door open and go, we got 15 kids coming in with their heads off. 4 minutes, they're in count, you know, and it's the middle of a snowstorm and it's like, dun, 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 and everybody freaks out and they all got to scramble and they're all talking words like, give me a 50cc flamage with a zip, zap, zoopy dop, you know, like all the medical talk and everything. And I realized that what I didn't like then, used to stress me out in the 90s. Sure. Yeah. I would just get anxious and it's like, oh my gosh, this is scary and all that. Now, I find that stuff weirdly calming.
I mean, it's not that far a stretch from choppers. We got choppers, incoming choppers. It really is like,
yeah,
you know.
It is that guy, right? It's basically that.
Same shit, different war. Yeah.
Yeah.
Except, but I mean, it's like that level of stress, like, oh, hey, everything's going well. Pass me a little bit more of that moonshine. Oh, you gonna go to Tokyo for a little R&R this weekend? Yeah, I think I am. Oh, choppers. Let's all get in there. Oh,
yep.
Oh, I missed my Tokyo trip.
An entire front line of horrible murders happened, and now we have to get serious in the operating room. Like, there's,
right.
It definitely has that. And for whatever reason, I kind of, maybe I'm just nostalgic for it because that was must-see TV Thursdays, right?
It was, yeah.
I guess the tail end of that or close to it.
It was the closer, right? Because, I mean, you had your 7 o'clock starter, which was sometimes, a Suddenly Susan or a Boston Common or a Caroline in the City.
Yeah.
And then your 7:30, your lead-in to Seinfeld, that pressure. Oh, no, I'm sorry. It was a Frasier.
Frasier
was Cheers, your start.
In 95, Cheers is done,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, Cheers was still, I think Cheers was done. There was some overlap, I'm sure, between Cheers and ER.
Okay. So there might have been,
Cheers without ER.
We may have gone Cheers, then Seinfeld, then.
Yeah, I think you had your Frasier at the top.
Yeah.
And then you had your, we're really trying to push this new NBC sitcom with this Southern lady, a comedian.
You're talking about not designing women.
Not designing women. It was the saw her on Walking Dead or something. Grace on Fire. Grace on Fire.
It's not Grace on Fire, is it?
Grace Under Fire.
Under Fire.
What was that woman's name? Because we just saw her on like Walking Dead or something. So you had that. Your 7:30 was your sitcom that NBC is really trying to push because it's the lead into 8 o'clock Seinfeld.
Right.
And then there's that like, oh, we've got this treasured hammock of entertainment between these two great tentpoles of Seinfeld and ER.
Yeah.
What are we gonna stick in it? I know, The Single Guy or Boston Common or.
You're totally right. That's exactly what it was, and that was must-see TV, and then you ended with ER, because that was before the news.
Brett Butler, thank you.
Yeah, she had a dude's name, or what I considered a dude's name back then.
And a dude's job. And then and then Friends, right. So Friends took over Frasier moved to Tuesdays, and then Friends slipped in there, and it was, again, your top-of-the-hour tent poles and your little NBC hammocks of what are we trying to fit in there now between that.
That was your standard Thursday night. And I think this reminds me of that. And I used to tune into that every week. And I used to think it was great. Yeah. And at that time, let's see, 95, I had a baby. I had a little tiny Taylor and I was holding her and feeding her probably while this was going on. So I have a lot of nostalgia for it. So it's just playing in the background. while I get work done. Like yesterday, just kind of had it on. And it's very good. I think that show's worth returning to. I think it, like most shows, they find their feet right around season two. And it sort of kicks off. I only have one problem. There was an episode where Jerry brought a copy of Doom to the desk there, to the clerk's
Jerry
desk.
Was his name. Yes, right. Yeah, it was.
Yeah, couldn't I always forget Jerry. His name too? The guy from the dude that he was, he's from all sorts of stuff. But anyway,
freaking linebacker looking dude.
Yeah, big guy. He was from Parker Lewis Can't Lose. I always remember from that. But anyway,
okay. But he, I believe you.
Did you ever watch Parker Lewis Can't Lose? You never saw that show?
I liked it the first time when it was called Ferris Bueller's Day Off.
It's a fair point. It's a fair point. I mean, you know, they even tried.
I did try watching Parker Lewis Can't Lose, and it was like. Yeah, I see what they're going for here.
Yeah. But here's my memory. I remember him. I remember his character name. This is so stupid because I can't remember anything else today, but I remember his name was Kubiak. It was his last name.
Oh, really? Oh, funny. Wow.
Yeah, why I remember that? That's stupid. Anyway, Jerry's
there. Even DJ says, yeah, he played Kube. Yeah, so really, it's a very memorable character.
Kubiak was a great character. I liked him a lot.
Yeah.
And that guy's done all kinds of cool stuff, including in recently he was in a World of Warcraft expansion as like a big bad guy. He does all kinds of voice work now. Yeah. Anyway, but I'm watching that. He brings Doom to the not the office, to the ER, and they're playing Doom. We're talking classic, you know, PC pixelated Doom. And they start talking about it like they're like they know what they're doing. But they say things that just aren't true. So they're playing it. They're going, oh, you're going to die unless you go get the bulletproof vest. And I went, Doom didn't have a bulletproof vest.
Not a thing.
there's an armor thing, but that's not what you said. And then somebody goes, you should use the BFG 2000. And I went, it's not 2000. You got that wrong. So whenever a show does shit like that, it takes me out so bad. And I'm sure there's a million medical things, like if Jerry Tolbert was watching the show, he'd be like, eyes would roll so hard, they'd come back around the other way.
Right, right.
But I was so annoyed at that episode, so I had to skip that one.
That was their episode that was like, because everyone was kind of hooked on it, it was distracting and stuff. It was basically their equivalent of the Star Trek The Next Generation cones and loops game that everybody gets hooked on.
Yeah. Or one of the, what was the deal? Who was in that was famously in that?
It was Ashley Judd.
Ashley Judd, that's right. That's right. Yeah, one of the Judds was in there doing her Judds. Doing Judd business. Yep.
Doing Judd things. Just judding.
Just judding around.
Yeah, by the way, we talked about Parker Lewis and, of course, the horrible, horrible Ferris Bueller's Day Off TV show.
That was real bad. Yeah.
In you know, but in the movie, you had Jennifer Grey playing Ferris's sister.
Mm-hmm.
She got the car. He got a keyboard or he got a computer. In the TV show, do you remember who played his sister?
No, I only remember is Cloris Leachman was in it briefly. That's all I remember.
Okay. Jennifer Aniston was his sister.
Oh, really?
In that. Yep. And the two of them would later play sisters or rivals or whatever it was on Friends. She was the guy that she left on the altar. That Rachel left at the altar, who he ended up marrying, was the Jennifer Grey character.
Oh,
I think, right?
Doug or whatever. Not Doug.
Yeah, whatever his name was.
Whatever it was. The doctor guy, though. He was like a doctor.
The doctor, yes. Right. Yeah,
I remember that. Good thing Claire's not here. She'd be losing her mind about Friends.
Oh, she would, trivia. Exactly. More Friends trivia. Can we have more, please? Here in Ireland, it's our favorite show.
You know, Barry, is it Barry? Might be Barry.
Barry. Yes. Dr. Barry. Yeah,
Barry.
Thanks, Woga.
Yeah. That makes sense to me. Well, anyway, ER is great. Anyway, I recommend it. It's on Hulu and, it really kicks in season two. I think it's an excellent drama. Like it's just actually really good and holds up. There are some things about it that maybe are a little dated, but for the most part, it's believable.
And Juliana Margulies was supposed to die in the pilot, and she became one of the most popular characters on that thing.
She became huge, and she's very good in it. And she also is one of those people who I don't look at and go, oh, what a hottie. I look at her and go, what a very beautiful, distinct-looking person. Like, that's why I think this show's better than most of these. Mm-hmm. Everyone's
I think she's a hottie.
She's good looking, but she's not like drop dead, like model.
Oh yeah. To me, no, forget that. Like Sopranos is like, oh, is this a Juliana Margulies episode? All right. Excellent.
Yeah. But you know what I mean? She's not the, yeah, she's not these kinds on the Chicago Med
model,
thing.
Like she's not, the supermodel, over made up kind of beauty.
Right.
She's
right. Yeah. Even Noah Wiley's kind of a dork. Like, he's good looking, but he's a dork. And it helps the character to be less, more of a dork and less of a perfect human being. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I'm into it. Mm-hmm. Okay. Enough ER for now. Let's talk about Crawley McCreepers wrote in. I don't think this is his real birth name, his Christian name.
No, it's not. Not Crawley McCreepers. Okay.
No,
all right.
No, I don't think so, but maybe, you know, whatever. Mileage may vary. He says, Dear Spider and Cobweb, beneath the veil of twilight, I, a humble creature of silk and shadow, reach out to thee, guardians of the spoken lore, seeking to bridge the worlds of human and spider with threads of peace and comprehension. 'Tis with a gentle heart and a spirit of goodwill that I impart unto thee, Carter, scion of wisdom and curiosity, and Scott, her guiding star, a device of such ingenious craft, it belies the marvels of our age. Known amongst the dwellers of the overworld as, quote, my critter catcher, unquote. This artifact possesses the remarkable ability to ensnare my kin and I in tendrils of benevolence without harm or fear, and unlike the humble cup, affords dignity for our species. And there's a link to Amazon where you can buy this. It says, I await a friend veiled in the night, eager for a future where our paths cross in respect and friendship, entranced by the woven discourse nonetheless. Crawley McCreepers. So we've talked on the show about how my daughter will constantly save spiders. That's what this is about.
Yes. Yeah. Well, and I think this was intended for the Monday show. This is why you can't have two shows, Scott, that are spelled TMS.
No, this isn't for us. Look, Dear Spider and Cobweb, entranced by the woven discourse. No. I love the show though.
Start with that first line again. Dear Spider and Cobweb.
Oh, the C. I guess so. But this
because.
But nobody says love the show though on that show.
Well, they should start.
Also, this came to TMS. This came to my TMS email. I should mention that.
Yeah, because they think it's the Monday show. This is here's the somebody already sent us these spider catchers right here.
Oh yeah, that's it right there, isn't it?
Right there, yeah.
Here, chat. Look at it.
Sorry, do I need to
gaze upon it? Oh yeah, show that, Brian. Look at it. See, look at that thing.
It looks like already it's fireworks.
Oh wow. Do it again. Oh, God bless America.
I didn't do it too quick.
Ooh, I'm supposed to say, exactly. So this thing is...
That's an S&C. That's a Scott and Carter.
Yeah, but it came to themorningstream@gmail.com. I don't have an email for the other show. So.
Oh, well, that's why.
Yeah, well, that might be why. Yeah. The point is, we brought it up here before, and the idea is...
If you guys want
to be nice to spiders, here's a... relatively inexpensive way to do it. $22.95 and it can be yours. All right.
That's cool. It's a very cool device. I've used it many a time. It helps me pick up the spider so I can put it on a hard surface and stomp on it. It's very, very handy.
You can take it out of your front porch.
Pull it out of the carpet and then put it on the hardwood floor.
Perfect.
I'm kidding. I hope Carter's not listening to that.
No. She's off to getting a tattoo this morning, I believe.
Oh, you're here right now? Cool. When are you going? When's your tattoo?
Later.
she's in the other cubicle. You couldn't see her from where you're at.
Yeah, I just can't. I have a wall there. It's like a, what is this thing? It's like a Japanese changing wall? Mm-hmm. Whatever that is. It folds. You get it at IKEA. It's like a semi-translucent. Oh,
yeah, like one of those. Right.
Yeah.
In old TV shows, you'd see stockings draped over them.
Yeah. Yeah, it has a kind of a boudoir sort of vibe to it. That's right. But
that's right.
In this case, it's
Caduce asks, does it hurt the spider? It does not hurt the spider.
No, it's very
good. That's the whole point. It's these little soft fingers that are like stiffer than fishing line, but that sort of material, like a thin plastic.
Yeah, fiber. you're just picking it up with a soft touch is all. Well, the spider they show in the Amazon listing is huge.
Is it?
Oh, it's so big, Brian. You got to see this. Look at this thing. Hold on.
Okay.
I'll send you an image.
Oh, are you talking about the one that's next to it in the picture?
Well, no, this one's like in its grasp.
Oh, gotcha.
Here you go. Okay. It's in our Discord. See that?
Oh, geez. Well, that's funny. That's clearly a plastic spider.
Oh, yeah. It doesn't look real at all, does it?
Yeah, no, it's definitely...
It's big, though. Look how big. I don't like how big it is. That freaks me out a little bit.
Yeah, that is a little bit big. Jeez. And no one's like, yeah, somebody's going to say, all right, well, we've got this spider. Let's go ahead and get on the other side of this and take this picture.
Yeah. I don't like it even when it's fake.
Yeah.
Well, thank you, Crawly McCreepers. We also got another email from Michael, who wrote into themorningstream@gmail.com and said the following. This one is definitely for us. Hi, guys. On TMS recently, Scott read a news story about a woman returning a 2-year-old couch to Costco simply because she had grown tired of it. That reminded me of an experience from a couple of years ago. I live on the Gulf Coast. I'm so sorry. Actually, I like it down there. I take it back. You're always at risk, though, down there. You know, hurricane season comes around. You're just like, oh, man, freaking hope this isn't the year.
I loved Bradenton. I love Sarasota.
Mm-hmm.
I have a very good friend in Tampa.
I like Biloxi. I like Gulfport. It's very nice.
Sure.
You got casinos now in both those places. So.
Yeah, not very good.
No, they're not. They're not like Vegas casinos.
They're not like Vegas. Vegas spoils me.
Yeah. Vegas spoils us all. Anyway, I live in the Gulf Coast. We have to deal with the occasional hurricane coming through and knocking out power. Several years ago, days after one such event, I was walking into a Lowe's and noticed a sign on the door that read, quote, all generator sales are final, unquote. Apparently, there were people buying generators in preparation for the approaching hurricane and then trying to return them several days later after the hurricane had passed and power had been restored. So they were trying to, you know, get the benefit of the thing and then return the thing. Yeah, at first, I was irritated at the idea that people would try such a thing. Lowe's is not in the generator rental business. But then I giggled inside at the hope that those who thought they had been so clever as to buy a generator for just a few days had, in fact, bought it forever. Moo-ha-ha-ha, he says.
Excellent.
Love the show, Michael. Yep. Both of these reads today were very dramatic.
Dramatic.
Very dramatic. Yeah. Yeah. Like an ER episode.
For sure. Don't, don't, don't.
Don't, 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 don't. I love that song. There's something about it.
There is, yeah.
It's really good. It's one of the best music. It's one of the best drama themes. I'll put it up there, like top five. It's really good, mm-hmm. the whole thing. Mm-hmm. And it's got that part in the middle where Eric LaSalle gets to the floor and does a fist pump.
Like a little, celebratory fist bump.
Yep. That guy's pissed all the time, by the way. All the time.
He is. Oh, Eric LaSalle. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. He's a mad hatter. All right. Well, that's it for that. Oh, real quick. Yeah. So, sorry. One more thing about ER. I captured this yesterday to bring it on the show, and I just totally spaced it. And I put it on socials. Brian, you may have already seen it, but.
I have not yet. No.
I put it on social. What am I, 500?
Put it on social.
Okay, so this animated GIF is Noah Wyle and Eric LaSalle exchanging a glance.
Okay.
This right here, if I could sum up the first two seasons of ER, this GIF is, this is it.
That's right, because he was the intern under Eric LaSalle's charge, right?
Like
basically.
And Eric, who plays Dr. Benton, is pissed at him constantly.
Yeah.
And Noah Wiley's always doing this double take and like he thinks he's being smart, but he's not. Like, this is the essence of season 1 and 2 right there.
That's great.
Anyway, sorry everyone at home who can only listen and not see that GIF I put up.
That's right. Yeah, it's the two of them looking at each other and Noah's smiling until he sees that Eric LaSalle is looking at him and then he stops.
Yeah. And Eric LaSalle, dude, that guy, he's pissed.
He's good. Doesn't have his soul glow afro that he had in Coming to America, but
I always forget that was him. Oh man, what a difference!
What a change! what a quite a different role.
It does not play the same character even close. All right, hey, how about we inform the public as well as entertain them?
Sure.
With a little bit of this, right? Why can't I find the news there?
Hold on.
Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
Breaking news. GD Sara says, fun fact, putting house spiders outside doesn't save them. They die anyway because they're not supposed to be outside. I question that. It's not like we're domesticating spiders in the house.
Right. They came from there inside, right?
Exactly. They started the spiders in the house are outside spiders that came into the inside spiders.
Yeah, I'm with Brian on this. Maybe there's an exception we don't know about. Maybe
some exceptions, sure. I mean, you know.
But maybe it'd have to be somewhere where they've been living indoors for a long time. But the way that works is they come here because it's warm in the winter or whatever.
Yeah, because they found a little opening and it's like, oh, I'm getting out of the rain into the nice dry house.
Yeah.
And guess what? Same predator outside, other spiders.
Yeah.
As they have inside.
Yeah. I don't know if I buy that. I know that's true of, like, you know, your pet snakes and your birds and your stuff like that. They're domesticated animals, but I don't think
maybe there are, and who knows, maybe there are quote unquote domesticated house spiders that only know how to live in a house. But anyway, I had to draw attention to that. It caught my attention. And
what's,
we love you, Gene.
What's a spider expert? What do we call them? They're not entomologists
arachnologist.
Is that right?
There's another Judy Sar says science disagrees. Okay. Well, maybe she does know. Arachnist.
Oh, it's okay. You're right. I think so. It's here. I'll play the thing. Whoops. That's muted. Sorry. I'll do it again.
Arachnologist.
I didn't prep.
Arachnological.
Oh, he's got another. We got three of them.
Arachnological.
That's an adjective, and here is his name.
Oh, no. Boxman's
Arachnology.
Dead.
Oh, no. What do we do?
Arachnologist.
Well, anyway, where was I? Oh, news. Time for the news, brought to you by
We Hate Good Movies. It's a podcast wherein a group of three movie lovers, Dallin, Spencer, and Micah, take on another first-year student and try to convince them that objectively phenomenal movies are ruined by major flaws. On the latest episode, Micah, Dallin, and Spencer try to convince returning guest Annie that the cult classic Fight Club doesn't live up to the hype. Look for We Hate Good Movies on Podbean or Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your shows.
Now, one of these people is Red Fraggle's kid.
It's a fraglet. Yes, one of these people is a Red Fraglet.
Yeah, it's your job as listener to figure out which one, okay?
That's right. Listen to their voices and see if you can place it. I listened to this episode about Fight Club. This one, personal to me, because I put Fight Club up as one of my five or so favorite movies. And I struggled at the very beginning, and then they won me over. Because you can tell there's a playfulness about the whole thing, right? Like,
right.
They really do like Fight Club, but they're going to be the devil's advocate or the master debaters and try and convince somebody that Fight Club is not a good movie because of these.
Have they done Fury Road?
Few flaws.
Do you know? If they've done
that. I don't know. I think maybe they need to have you on as a guest for Fury Road.
Not sure I can take
fight,
it.
Fight scene.
Yeah, I don't know if I can take it or not. If I hear anyone talk smack about my favorite film. Although it is Dune week, so I don't have to think about much else but Dune this week. So.
Right. You can put Mad Max Fury Road on the back burner for a little while we focus on Dune.
Yeah. And you're gonna I'm so excited. You're gonna see it Thursday, right?
Seeing it Thursday night. Yep.
I'm seeing it Friday.
Opening night.
Cannot
the
wait.
Alamo Drafthouse has new foods, like a hummus plate that's some sort of like arrakis worm food or something like that. Some sandworm chow or something like that.
It's, sure.
It should be interesting.
That makes sense. Why wouldn't you? Go all in.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh,
Dr. Calhoun found some stuff. Let's see this. New Scientist. Sorry, this feels like it's important enough to make sure we cover. All
is this
right.
the spider thing, right?
Yeah. What's that?
It's the spider.
The spider thing, right? Yeah. So, do house spiders released outside survive or navigate back? This is interesting.
Oh,
first, allow me to turn off my cookies because I'm not going to allow all the cookies.
Only reject allow the cookies all. You need. Just some of the cookies you need. That's it. By the way, I think it's hilarious that when I go to a website that talks about diabetic stuff and sugar intake that you have to approve a bunch of cookies to use their website. I think that's funny.
that's a little irony, isn't it?
Yeah. I don't like that really at funny. All. Anyway, sorry, go ahead.
All right. Yeah. It says the only place to release a house spider. That's kind of the TLDR at the top. The only place to release a house spider is a house. That's their habitat. So there you go.
But what do you know? What's a house spider? Cause I've had black widows in here and I know those live outside too. What's a house spider? What does that even mean?
I think that's the thing, right? I think you have to identify whether or not they are a spider that can live outside and is used to foraging outside for its food, or if it's something that's, you know, getting used to just eating fiber one bar crumbs from the inside of the house, and that's the only thing it can live on.
Okay. I mean, I look, I'm here to learn new things. If this is the case, yeah. I just need to know what a house spider is, because that to me is too broad of a definition. It's like,
yeah,
house
exactly.
Spider. So, there's a spider in my house. Does that make it a house spider? House spider?
Spice howder?
A spice howder? Is that a spice girl?
Outer spice.
Yeah, it's outer. Outer spice. Oh, the long missing spice girl.
So let's see, what's the other deal? I'd also caution that removing spiders from a home with specific temperature and humidity into an environment that may be drastically different. And that's where it cuts off from Dr. Calhoun's thing. So,
okay.
All right. Well, you know,
Dr. Calhoun,
here we go.
Yeah.
Other spiders like cobweb spiders and cellar spiders tend to do well in our homes for their entire life. In this case, they can be left alone, but if removed from the house, they will often find the nearest area that is suitable and do their best to survive. Yeah, I don't mind if he becomes a garage spider or a...
Sure. Who cares?
A window well spider. That's totally fine. Be a window well spider and you get some warmth and safety and eat the bugs that fall in there. And
yeah. Be my neighbor's house spider. How about that?
So Jeannie Saris, thank you for correcting us. We always love the gentle corrections.
Yeah.
But what would you recommend saying, well, you're gonna die outside anyway, so
I mean the problem is I can't have one
to a different part of the house, Jeannie Saris.
Right, and I cannot have them crawling on my face. Also, they don't know English and they don't follow rules. So if I say to the spider, the furnace room is yours.
Right, exactly. Stay out of the living room.
Then how can I ensure that will happen? You know,
that's right.
With a wife, I have a wife who is a full-on arachnophobe. She can't do it. So how do I protect her from the wiles of a spider? I don't know
exactly, because Carter takes all of them outside, right?
She loves them and takes them outside if she can. Yeah, she tries to let them all escape. But maybe if we've been doing that wrong, I'm happy to tell her that maybe that they can't survive out there. I don't know. What do you think of that, Carter?
A house spider. Here, that what happens,
you know what, like, Carter? Get on that mic for a second right there. Let's have this conversation.
Okay.
If it turns out that house spiders are meant to be in a house.
Oh, I would keep... I know that they're meant to be in the house.
Okay, so
I would keep them in the house. Mom won't allow it.
Okay. What, Brian, go ahead.
What would you... Like, okay, would you just move them to another part of the house?
Here, hold on.
Or what do you do...
I got to wire her up.
Oh, gotcha.
Hang on. She doesn't have headphones. All right, here you go, Carter. Okay, Brian, ask your question again.
All right, so you want to keep them in the house. What do you do with them then if you pick up a spider in the house? What part of the house do you move it to?
Yeah.
Probably, like, we have a storage room that I would put them in.
You'd store them in a storage room?
There's a lot of hiding spaces in there. My point is, if spiders don't get caught, you have spiders in your house either way.
Yeah, that's true.
Yes, right.
So
right.
I would give them a space where they can go hide again.
Yeah, but but they don't follow the rule. If you say, this is your place to hide in... They don't go, oh, okay, thanks, I'll keep that in mind. No, I'll stay on my side of the tracks.
On instinct, they're going to go and hide. Like, they're not... The fact that you see any spiders is super rare.
Well, that's true, I guess.
Yeah, that's true. They're usually, like, behind the walls. They're behind the walls, Scott.
They're you in can't the walls!
Don't but tell mom.
But now you put them in the storage room where, you know, your dad's going to go looking for paperclips someday and reach into a box and, oh, here's paperclips. No, it's a spider!
Yeah, this is fair. I'm saying I respect your desire to save them, but if it turns out us letting them go is killing them...
Here's the thing.
What?
They have a higher chance of living if I let them go than if I just smush them.
Well, that's true.
Yeah,
100%. So...
Yeah, I feel like
better chance.
They have an exponential better chance.
Certainly better odds.
Yeah. All right, that's a fair point. Now go back to whatever you were doing, and good luck with your tattoo. Bye now.
It got canceled.
You know what I'm gonna do?
It got canceled?
Oh,
I'm sorry. Well,
it's not, the weather.
The weather. This tough weather is really...
Yeah, it really is. Get a tattoo in the snow. You know what I'm gonna do? I'm gonna 3D print a little house.
Yeah.
And it'll be the spider house, and I'll have it on the side by the garage, around the, like, behind our fence. And when we catch a spider, I'm going to put in some little house.
Aww.
And it'll still be a house spider. Yeah. It'll just be at its own house.
It'll have its own house.
And well, if I get into that house, it totally can step on me, and I'll totally allow it.
It'll
or
be
it
the
could, or pick me up and put me back in my house.
It will have a better chance of at housing than most of Carter's generation. So good job. All right. Well, let's move on to this story. We have a new story here. A man makes $2.3 million off insider trading by snooping on his wife's remote work calls. Ooh. Dude.
There was a whole stupid moonlighting episode about this where this guy was cheating, or this woman was cheating on her husband, and no, who was it? The guy was cheating on his wife, and he talks in his sleep, and he's a stockbroker. And the talking in his sleep would be, oh, I got to buy 100 shares of Exxon. Oh, I got to sell my shares of so-and-so. And this woman was making a killing and continuing to sleep with him because he was disclosing the secrets.
That's amazing. That's an amazing premise for a television episode.
Yes, and apparently it's true to life, sort of.
Sort of. This guy made over $1.67 million U.S.
Wow.
By listening to his wife's remote calls while she was working from home. The U.S. Securities and Exchange Commission, the SEC, on Thursday announced Tyler Loudon of Houston accused him of taking advantage of his wife's work-from-home setup to obtain non-public information and illegal profits. The agency said Loudon's wife, who had not been publicly named, was a merger and acquisitions manager for the oil and gas company British Petroleum. She had been working to finalize the company's plans to acquire Travel Centers of America Incorporated, an Ohio-based full-service truck stop and travel center company. But before BP made the public announcement about the acquisition, Loudon, age 42, purchased 46,450 shares of Travel Center stock without his wife's knowledge. He's in huge trouble.
Yes. Well, she unfortunately was also in huge trouble, lost her job because of this.
Yeah, that makes I could see that happening, but it's also like I feel for her. This is not really her.
Yeah, not her fault. Exactly. I mean, you know, you kind of got to trust the person you live with not to spy on your calls and make money from it. Jeez.
Is there anything that I know, because at least in the past or maybe even now, Tina's dealt with some like sensitive stuff that.
Yeah, she does adult protective services. So I could listen in on her calls and figure out which elderly people to take advantage of.
Got it.
And say, all right, oh, this person has a big bank account and is easily fooled by crypto scams. Great. Let me create my own NFT and send them.
That would be bad.
Yeah. And Tina would have full right to divorce me from that.
Well, as a result of this thing, this stock of this thing he bought all those shares in jumped 71%, which is a massive gain for him. He has now pled guilty to securities fraud and will probably go to prison.
Yeah.
So,
oh, yeah, for sure.
Yeah. We take our money very seriously in this country sometimes.
We do.
Sometimes more than actual criminal things going on, but not that this isn't criminal, but you know what I mean. We go after it. Let's see. Here's a story we'll do
real quick.
Damn it,
Zoom. Damn it, pandemic.
Damn it. Work from home.
Dangle this carrot in front of me. Damn it.
Here's a cool, interesting thing. This almost sounds like a Bobby thing. Isolated for 6 months, scientists in Antarctica begin to develop their own accent. Like the thing, sort of, except.
Yeah.
Not exactly that.
Instead of a Petri dish, it's an accent.
That's right. Says the Antarctica is a very bleak, remote, and dark place during the winter, but a handful of people each year brave the conditions to live almost totally cut off from the rest of the world, and the experience can change the way they actually speak. They say the article's very long, but it basically goes into how 26 weeks of perpetual darkness and harsh weather, having to work very closely with each other, see nobody else, travel nowhere. You can't go anywhere. You're just there. Eventually, new accents will emerge. And a lot of it will be based on somebody came into the situation with, say, a British accent. Somebody else is there from the south. From
melange of all the different
accents. It starts to emerge. And I love this concept because this is how cool science fiction accents come up. Like the world of Firefly.
Or whatever. The Expanse is a great example of this. Like the different accents that evolved from the...
Oh, the Belters, dude. Yeah.
The Belters, yes.
I love that stuff. Huge fan of that thing. But to me, it's always been like science fiction. This is, I guess, proving out that But if you stay there long enough,
part of it is,
wow, it's cool, crazy. Right? Super cool.
Yeah. Would you you get an opportunity to go to go visit Antarctica? But because of the way flights and stuff are arranged, you have to spend a month there. Do you do it?
Oh gosh. I mean, it feels like a once in a lifetime
trip,
thing,
right? It's like, yeah. Oh yeah, we can. We'd love to bring you up. You know, up to Antarctica. You can stay at the Seward Station or whatever it is, the Andrew Bird Station. And but unfortunately, the next flight back out, the one we can get you on, wouldn't be for a month until a month later. Would you do it?
I think I might. It sounds like a once in a lifetime deal. Like when else are you ever going to get to see it? As long as I could be there. And not be told that there's very little food and water. You know what I mean? Like, I need to know that it's not going to be a nightmare.
Yeah, I mean, you won't. Yeah, exactly. You'll be living in Fremen suits and drinking your own sweat and pee. But other than that,
then
I mean,
Antarctica
is the world's biggest desert.
That's so true. It is. It's also, I don't know. It's a favorite horror movie location of mine.
It is. Sure.
That's what I like about this season, this recently just finished season of True Detective. I like that setting. I like it. I don't like cold. I don't like winter and I don't like snow so much, but I like when a story is set in that setting. Mm-hmm. So like 30 Days of Night or whatever that was called, the vampire one that was set in the Arctic, The Thing, of course.
Oh, yeah.
Any of those kinds of things, love that as a backdrop.
What was the Robin Williams? Wasn't that also Robin Williams, Al Pacino?
Oh, the one, the
Paranoia? No, what was that thing called?
The one with the, it's made by your, by not, the guy, made by Christopher Nolan movie.
Not 1 hour photo. No, it's
Insomnia. Insomnia?
Insomnia, that's it. Yes. Yeah.
It's also the name of what do you call it? Stephen King book, I think.
Oh,
it's,
really?
It's not,
but unrelated. Not based on the same story.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I really like that book. That book's great.
Yeah.
It's also tied into The Dark Tower, which I love.
Oh, right. Well, what is it?
I mean, all his books kind of are, but that one is very explicitly, like at the end especially, it's like, oh.
Oh, really? Okay. Yeah. Interesting.
Like, big crossover. It's good, though. It's not, and then it's not really a spoiler because it's, mm-hmm. it doesn't, the story is its story, and then it's also a crossover. It's hard to explain. Final note here, a man charged with allegedly stealing Subway sandwiches and growling at people in Morgantown.
Is this Pennsylvania?
Yeah, I think so.
Morgantown, Pennsylvania.
Let's see. Oh, does it say? I think it is. It's on a website called W Boy.
West Virginia.
Oh, is it West Virginia?
I'm trying to remember. Morgantown was a customer of ours, and I went there, and what the hell was it?
The Appalachian Times.
Yeah,
the
Morgantown. Trying to see if I made the mistake. Oh, I know. I'll go to weather. If I go to this 12W boy and tells me where this is,
the Holler Herald, the
West Virginia, Morgantown, West Virginia.
Okay, yep. It is West Virginia. None of those papers are real. I was making those up, everybody. let's move on to this. It says here, a man was charged with allegedly stealing these sandwiches and threatening violence, growling at people in this town.
Growling at people. Yep. Oh, my God.
Let's see. The complaint was filed on February 20th when officers arrived. Witnesses stated that David Clark, age 48, aren't they always, of Morgantown, entered the Subway and went behind the counter and started to make and eat food. Make and eat food.
Make and eat food.
I need to make and eat food. while Clark was behind the counter, staff at the Subway told him to stop, but Clark responded by raising his fist in a threatening manner. Why does it say raise bracket ing on
probably,
that quote?
Probably because the testimony said he raised his fist in a threatening manner.
Oh, so they got rid of the ED and replaced it with ING?
With ING, because they're taking a direct quote from the thing.
Okay. Yeah. Never understood quite how that worked when they do that.
Yeah.
Usually it's a... Because without the ING, it's not even a word. You know?
Right. No, exactly.
Anyway.
But they wouldn't put raising.
Raising. He started by raising his fist in a threatening manner and making threats and caused.
Making threats and causing staff to
causing staff to flee the restauranting in a fear of bodily harm, according to the complaint. Officers located Clark outside the subway with unpaid food in his mouth.
You've got unpaid food in your mouth.
Drop the food. It's unpaid.
$5 foot long of unpaid food.
Yep. So now he's charged with robbery. He's sitting in jail waiting for arraignment. So,
yeah.
Well done, West Virginia.
Wow.
We're going to take a break. When we come back, our pal Bill Duran will be here. We're going to talk about making stuff. And that'll be right after this song break. Brian, what'd you bring?
I do so enjoy making stuff, and Bill is the best at making stuff. Hey, this is a brand new album. Brand new single, but it's from an upcoming album. The album doesn't come out till April 19th. You've got some time to wait, but you can get this single right now. It's by a guy named Billy Morrison, and this guy. Who did he used to play with? I know he, let's see. I guess it's not who he used to play with. It's who he's going to be playing with on this album. Some people you might have heard of: Ozzy Osbourne, Billy Idol, DMC, Al Jourgensen, Steve Vai, Steve Stevens, Linda Perry, Tommy Clufetos, John Five, great guitarist, and more. This guy is incredible talent. And this is some rock and roll for you. Here's Billy Morrison from his upcoming album. Here is the song Drowning.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage. All the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
Let me make this real to you. Bring on the virgins.
That's the doctor from the TV.
And we've returned. Who was that one more time?
Sure. That's Billy Morrison. Two R's, one S. Billy Morrison, a brand new single called Drowning from his upcoming solo album, The Morrison Project, which has all those people you heard me mention before. A lot of great talent going to be joining the already talented Billy Morrison on that album.
That sounds like a hell of a group.
Heck yeah.
They may as well do We Are the World while they're all there, you know?
That's right. There's a song called Crack Cocaine featuring Ozzy and Steve Stevens. Let's see, Corey Taylor and Steve Vai joining for a song called Insight the Watch, Puppets on a String. Oh, jeez. Yeah, this looks like it'll be a really good album coming out from Billy Morrison.
Seems nice. All right, you guys, yeah. It's time for this right here.
There's still something wrong, isn't there, Bill?
What's funny is there's never anything wrong when Bill comes on. I don't know why that clip says
zero.
That.
Because he can make things right.
That's right. Bill, make things right for us. How are you? What's going on?
You're doing pretty great.
Are you?
Been working on a lot of projects. We've been putting out a bunch of videos.
Yeah, that's good.
Awesome.
How's your 3D printer world going? I know there's with that whole new project. Sounds like things are kicking.
Yeah, I've got a new project almost done that should be out in the next couple of days. It's really exciting.
Nice.
I'll be working on that today. Lots of little pieces, lots of moving parts. I'm very excited.
Print and assemble. What's the last one? Oh man, I don't want you to give anything away. You probably don't want to give anything away. But what, like, magnets, springs? Like, what is there a hidden? What's the hidden secret in the new project that you're building?
I like this.
We'll just call this there's two mechanisms in the new project. One of them is steering.
Really?
Steering.
Yes.
Ooh. Oh my gosh, you're making a car. I can't wait to see how this goes. He's getting excellent. Into it. Making the new EV, the Punished Props EV12 or whatever you're going to call it. Very exciting. Yeah. For whatever it's going to be, I can't wait to see. But
it's gonna be fun.
What'd you bring with you today? What are we talking about?
I want to talk about some fan films. Specifically a fan film, but I've had the opportunity to work on a bunch of short films, mm-hmm. like contributing props and costumes and whatnot.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And there's a new one getting made. My friend Zach Finfrock is doing a new Fallout series. We got the new show coming out, and he and his friends made a Fallout series a little over 10 years ago called Nuka Break. And it was a big hit back then, and then they stopped making them, and now he wants to sort of continue the story for his character. So he's doing a one-off fan film from Fallout, and we sent a bunch of our props so that they could use them.
Oh, cool.
Right, because you've done so many. You, like, done the Pip-Boy and Nuka-Cola and all sorts of... Yeah,
several Pip-Boys, Nuka-Cola bottles. We've got laser pistols. I've got a nuke launcher. Lots of stuff.
What a treasure trove of props for this person's fan film. My gosh.
And I've forgotten several of them. There's a lot.
Yeah.
But I am making something new. Well, technically new. I'm making the Thirst Zapper. So it's a squirt gun that looks like a Nuka-Cola squirt gun.
Okay.
And I made one about 6 years ago. I 3D modeled it and 3D printed it for a friend of mine. She was doing the Nuka Girl costume, and I made the squirt gun for her. But I printed another one back then for myself. I wanted one for myself. And on one of my tested trips, Norm and I started putting it together, but we also were trying to add squirt gun functionality to it.
Ooh, actual squirting.
That's right.
Yeah.
But we never finished it because there was a pandemic, and I haven't been back there in a while.
Mm.
So I've had this like half-finished kit sitting in my shop for like 5 or 6 years. But it was the perfect thing for this fan film. Zach's character is very interested in Nuka-Cola, so we thought we got to do the Thirst Zapper. So I put it together. We put a video out for it on the whole construction, which is fun because it's different than the old one. It's got the squirting functionality, but I also put a lot more effort into it.
Let's see here.
It was
it's
a little wild.
Be tougher. I was going to say, it's got to be tougher to make something that can hold water, right?
Right.
Like and is self-contained, has sealing, is sealed enough to where it can have a little reservoir of water.
And I ended up just buying the smallest squirt gun I could find and installing the entire thing inside of my squirt gun.
Great. Oh my God, what a great way to do it.
That's awesome, dude. Look at that.
I had to modify it quite a bit, but we got it to fit in there. It's kind of wild returning to a project that you've had languishing for like 5 years. In the video, you can even see that box has been sitting there for so long, it's got a proper label.
No kidding.
Ooh, wow. I love the. So do you print these labels that you're now applying this the new?
Yeah, I've got
a little
cricket. Oh yeah, I've got a industrial vinyl cutter for it's like a Cricut on steroids. Yeah.
That's okay. So cool. Oh my gosh.
Doesn't it look legit?
Yeah.
It totally does.
Yeah. I would cover my whole house and shit like this if I had
Oh yeah, that's what I do.
Yeah, that's awesome, dude. Ooh, it looks so dainty though, because the cola words are the cursive looks like if you're not careful you're gonna get like wrinkles in it and stuff and lumps.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah.
That's cool. All right.
I made some custom parts on the lathe for this. That was really fun. But the paint job is really what sets this whole thing off. So the red is airbrushed on there, and I got a really nice red. This is all Createx paints. They have tons of really good airbrush paints. It's mostly just this bright red, but I mix in a little pearlescent red to give it just a little bit of that like automotive shimmer.
Yeah.
But the secret sauce is the clear coat. This rattle can I got, it's nasty stuff. You want to spray it outside. You know, you want to wear a respirator. You don't want to breathe any of that stuff in. But it's catalyzed. You pop the bottom of it, little button, and it puts a catalyst in the can, and then you mix it up, and then the clock is ticking. You have 48 hours to use the whole can. But when you spray it, it sprays a perfect gloss coat that will fully cure in like 2 hours. It's not drying.
Oh, wow.
It's curing. It's got a chemical reaction.
Weird.
And it's solid. It's like it cures fast, and it's super glossy, and it's very durable.
This ends up looking so solid state by the time you're done.
Yeah. It's really, really good. And the shimmer in the paint loves that gloss. And it does. It looks like you've got a nice automotive finish on there.
Wow. That's
great.
Look at that.
And it actually squirts.
It really does. And I'm asking for it back when they're done because I love it.
Yeah, sure.
So what do they make? Are they making a full-on second film kind of thing? Or what are they doing?
Yeah, another short film.
Okay.
It's being filmed right now, and it will come out sometime in April. A bunch of other people are helping out. He's filming it down in L.A.
Mm.
It's going to be really fun. He gets to explore the future of this character that they wrote like 13 years ago. And he finally gets his squirt gun.
That's awesome.
Zapper.
I love it. Screw you, pandemic. Things come around. We get them done eventually. You know,
do.
That's the attitude we should have.
Mm-hmm.
That's awesome, dude. Go check it out, you guys. So cool. This thing is up there. The name of the video is It Really Squirts, which I don't know if I would search that willy-nilly in different places,
yeah,
but, you know.
I think Red Tube might have a whole category about that.
They might.
Yeah.
I think you've got a real SEO going here though with that title. So.
That's right.
You might get a whole new audience that's like, "Where's the stepmom?"
Yeah, where I don't see the stepmom in this here video about this squirt gun. Anyway, this is great as always. Bill always brings us something a little extra too. What do you got going?
Yeah, a couple things. One, Emerald City Comic Con is this weekend. Yeah. Brittany and I will be there. I've got a panel on Friday morning. If anyone's there, come on by. We're doing a panel about turning our creative passion into a business.
What?
With a bunch of my friends. It's going to be really fun.
Cool.
And then we'll be in costume. Brittany and I will have our Satisfactory costumes on one day and probably Ghostbusters the other.
Oh, very nice. Fantastic. Man, that Ghostbusters thing, it's almost more than your jogger outfit. You get a lot of mileage out of that thing.
I really, I will wear it a lot more. I got a second proton pack for Brit that I need to paint.
Yeah, yeah.
To work on. I want to make, there's going to be new stuff in the new movie. I'll be doing Ghostbusters cosplay until the heat death of the universe.
Does it get its own stink bag, or is it the same stink bag you use for the?
It's a box.
It's a box. Stink box.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. Does the box have a fancy label on it?
Not yet.
Ooh, Brian just gave him an idea.
Stink box.
I think it's got a blue piece of painter tape with some markers scrawled on it.
Whoa! Okay. Don't be so fancy. Goodness gracious. Well, Bill, it's always good to talk to you, dude. I'm glad this is happening. Can't wait to see you in Vegas and.
I wanted to share Zach's GoFundMe. Funding the film of the GoFundMe. It's over there. If you look up Zach Finfrock, you'll find it.
I didn't know GoFundMe let you do stuff that wasn't like dire family medical stuff. That's interesting.
They'll let you do apparently just about anything, including paying for legal expenses if you run afoul of the law.
Yeah, I guess so. I've seen some pretty crazy things, but I didn't know. I don't know. I guess I just always assumed it was nothing but that.
You can come up with an elaborate ploy to take money that you're claiming to give to a homeless person and use it for yourself with GoFundMe.
That's right.
You sure can.
Bill could do an OnlyFans where all he did was paint models. It doesn't, or, you know.
Or I make ceiling fans. That would be even better.
I only do fans. See you later. Well, Bill, thanks, dude. And have a fantastic rest of your week and month. And we'll see you soon.
You got it. Bye
now. Bye.
See you, Bill. I'm going to add that GoFundMe video and then put the link to the GoFundMe underneath it on quicktms.li.
Oh, very nice. Don't forget to bookmark that, everybody. It's a great place to get the latest of what we talked about on the show.
Any freaking link I can put up there, and I need to take down registration for the pond until we're ready to do another one.
We got a note here, just a very brief one from Seth. This was a text.
Seth, okay.
Yeah, 801-471-0462. He says, I did a website for a pet pig farm called rossmillfarm.com. They are great animals, says Seth. So this is about, we were talking about mini pigs or whatever, micro pigs, whatever.
Oh, yeah, micro pigs, yeah.
And I guess the potbelly pigs. But isn't the whole story is that these don't actually exist? There's no such thing as a small pig. They're actually just baby pigs and they grow up to be fat.
Pigs that grow up to be big pigs.
Yeah. And everyone thinks when they get one, they're like, oh, it's going to stay small forever, like the size of a cat. Mm-mm.
No, no.
Pigs, but this is a lovely. This is a lovely website, Brian. You get some competition here.
We got to take a look here. Oh, there's so many people who do better websites than me. I won't be. I am not under the impression that Oh, that is nice. That's very nice.
I want to go here. Look at this place.
I know.
So you guys don't know this about me. I don't know if I've said it before. Maybe Brian can relate. But I am kind of a. I want one of two things in the extreme. I either want to live in a penthouse apartment in the biggest city ever. And on the top floor in a big, beautiful, sprawling apartment. And I want to live right in the center of downtown. I either want that or I want to live way out in the middle of nowhere in a farm type situation like this. Everything in between is fine. That's where I'm at now. But if I could choose, it would be one of those two extremes and it would be hard for me to choose.
No, nope. New York is where I'd rather stay. I get allergic smelling hay. I just adore a penthouse view. So, Scott, I love you, but give me Park Avenue.
All right, you get Park Avenue. I'll take the farm upstate.
All right, you can take Green Acres. I'll take
I'll come visit, though. I'll come visit, and you'll sneeze because my clothes will smell like pigs and hay. I don't know what it is about it. There's something about the simple life of just, like, go out and feed the pigs that I... That attracts me. I like it.
Yep. I want a uh, I want a coffee, a mom and pop coffee shop that I can walk to, but I want a pizza place. I want a burger place also that are within walking distance as well. So
yeah, no, these are good creature comforts. I sign up for your newsletter. I think it's if you guys have a thought or
just says, I feel like a farm would grow Scott out.
I mean, maybe, I don't know. I don't mind. You know,
all those animals come with poop, Scott.
They do, but it's a different kind of poop. It's like a, I don't know. There's something about it. I can't explain it. Every time I go to a farm, I feel at home there. I think I could do it. But I'm not saying we need
a listener with a farm to say, come live at our farm for a month. Bring your computer, your microphone. We'll do, you know, you can do TMS remotely.
Okay.
And
let's
then
do
come
it.
Live on a farm for a month.
Let's do it. Somebody out there in the middle of nowhere want to give me a call? I prefer mountains, so, but if it's, you know, if it's flat prairie land, that's fine. Whatever.
Yeah. One of those good old mountain farms.
Yeah. What are them mountain farms? I mean more like surrounded by, not in the mountains.
Gotcha. Okay.
I mean like, you know, like.
A valley farm.
Yeah.
Right? Like you want to, Hidden Valley Farms is where you really want to live.
There's a ton of it between me and St. George, somewhere in there. Or sure. It doesn't have to be Utah, but something like that.
Yeah.
If anyone asks about Scott, we'll say,
live on a farm upstate.
You guys are dorks. All right. 801-471-0462 is where we got that from Seth. If you'd like to be like Seth and do that, that'd be fine. If you want anything else, you can find it at frogpants.com/TMF. Link TMF.
TMS. We got a whole new show.
Barcelona. that's where all our stuff is. All of it is linked there, including stuff to Viva TMS Vegas and all that. All of it. So go get there and be there and have it. That's it for the show. Brian, let's get out of here. We got to do a song, though. What do you got?
Well, okay. This one's going out to Thomas from Missouri. We had a couple birthdays yesterday, so this one got pushed to today. Hi, Scott and Brian. So, it's my 52nd birthday on February 26th, but feel free to play this request on any day. As for what song to play, whatever the cover master feels like playing is good with me. Still enjoying the show, guys. You keep making them, and I'll keep watching them.
Oh.
Signed, Thomas from Missouri.
You know what that means.
Happy birthday.
That's the age you're at, dude.
Nice. Yeah. Sorry, dude.
Sorry about that.
This is what I've had. Like, I have a folder where I put songs that that don't have a request tied to them, but I'd love to put onto the TMS at some point because I think they're so good. This one is that good. This is a band called The Hot Sardines from an album called French Fries and Champagne.
Okay.
All of that.
Ugh.
Yeah,
that's a meal I'll skip. Thank you so much.
That's the buffet at the El Cortez, by the way, is everything I just described. This is a cover of the song by the late, great Robert Palmer. Came out in 2016. It's a cover of Addicted to Love.
Lights are on, but you're not home, and your mind is not your own. Your heart sweats, body shakes, another kiss is what it takes. You can't sleep, you can't eat, there's no doubt you're in deep. Your throat is tight and you can't breathe, another kiss is all you need. Oh, you like to think that you're immune to this stuff, oh yeah. Closer to the truth to say you can't get enough. You're gonna have to face it. You're addicted to love. Addicted to love. You see the signs, but you can't read. You're running at a different speed. Your heart beats in double time. Another kiss and you'll be mine. Your lights are on, but you're not home. And your will is not your own. Your heart sweats, your teeth grind. Another kiss and you'll be mine. Oh, you like to think that you're to this stuff, oh yeah. It's closer to the truth to say you can't get enough. You're gonna have to face it. That you're addicted to love.
Get more at frogpants.com.
How many languages do you speak?